not my own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, whom you have received from God? And here's our theme scripture. Here's a big statement. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So we've been tearing apart that scripture, you are not your own. We talked about your life is not your own and your body is not your own. And today we're going to talk about your identity. So if you want to write down the title, here we go. Your identity is not your own. My identity is not my own. Some of you are squirming right now that we're going to do this, but here we go. Who's here? My niece. I'm so sorry. You know, your pastor can say something. Everybody say, hey, Rachel. I know. Auntie's going to do that. Okay, so we're going to talk about your identity. And identity is kind of like a big, hot topic in the world. Okay? And it kind of creates a tension in politics streams, political streams, in schools, in sports. And I'm not going to touch on sexuality, but let me say, identity's a big thing. Like, who do you identify with? You hear that, you see that, and it's just kind of up and out there. But in order to talk about identity, you have to answer these two questions. And one question, regardless of who you are, how young you are, how old you are, where you come from, we will all answer this question someday. And I hope you get it right. Ready? The question is, who is Jesus? Write that down. You have to know that and answer that, okay? And remember Jesus was asking his disciples, hey, who does everybody say I am? And some of them were saying this and some of that, saying that. And then we have Peter, who actually gets it right? And he goes, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Right answer. Okay, so when you say, Jesus, you are the Son of the living God, and it is by grace through faith that I am saved. You have answered that question right. How many have answered that question right? And, well, bow your heads and repeat after me. Following Jesus. Okay, we'll get you at the end. All right, so when you say who Jesus is, the right answer, okay, it changes you. It changes how you see things, how you do things. It just changes you, all right? So here's my second question that's not, it's up there, it's important, and it'll change how you perceive identity. And this one goes, who am I? Who am I? Okay, so just imagine you're at a meeting with a bunch of some new people, or, you know, you're hanging out with some new people, and they come up and you're like, oh, hi, who are you? Who are you? Now, a lot of people will, their go-to is, well, I'm a mom. Well, I'm a dad. Well, I'm a grandma. Well, I'm a grandpa. And those last two, you know, we get out is my phone. And you're going to look at all those pictures, right? Okay, so some of us identify with that. We're talking about identity. Right? Now, some of us identify with what we do. Okay? I'm an IT person. I work in a construction field. I am a teacher. So some of us, our identity is in what we do. Okay? How about this one? This happened to me this week. Some of us identify where we're from. So I got to hang out with the minister who did this the service for our dear Joanne, and we're talking really fast. And he goes, I'm from New Jersey. I go, I'm from New Jersey too. And then we started talking about real important things, like what kind of pizza do you love? Because in Jersey, there's only one answer, okay? So sometimes our identity is in where we're from. Anybody from Jersey? Okay, so now there's different ways we identify ourselves, and another one of them is who we follow. Last week, you all did it. I said in the beginning, hey, how many of you are Chiefs fans? And like two hands went up, and a bunch of you booed. well, you know what, okay? Because I'm an Apple fan. Don't raise your hand if you're one of those, because I should have probably said all that. Or how many of you are a YCFers fan? Okay, you get free coffee back there. So whatever your thing is, sometimes our identity is in who we follow, right? Sometimes another one is our identity is a label that somebody put on you that maybe you didn't really like. My freshman year in college, I did not know Jesus. Okay. So I'm hanging around with these girls in the frat house, and I get introduced to Big Mike. Big Mike, no last name. Big Mike, who are you? Big Mike. Big Mike was big and big. And he could eat you under the table and drink you under the table because he was Big Mike. So at the end of my freshman year, I go home for the summer, New Jersey, and I come back to start my sophomore year, and there's Big Mike. Well, I think Big Mike is not big. He must have dropped 50, 60, 70 pounds. But the label stuck. So what, you know, we call him still? Big Mike, okay? So a lot of times, some of those labels that we get stuck with aren't good ones, okay? But sometimes our identity is around those labels, all right? And maybe your identity is in your achievements, okay? You're a student. Who are you? Well, I'm an athlete, and I've got three letters, because in these sports, and these sports, and these sports, and my team went to state. So sometimes your identity is in your achievements. Or this one, how about your identity's in, I'm summa cum laude. And I don't even know how to spell that because I certainly wasn't up there, all right? And then you're like, my identity is in the letters that go in front of my name. So sometimes our identity is in our achievements. Now, none of those things are bad, okay? In and of themselves, those things, those achievements in, I'm grandma and what I do and where I'm from, okay? But I want to talk about our identity and something deeper than that surface stuff. So today we're going to talk about our identity in something really deeper. Okay, changing gears here. All right. This just happened a couple weeks ago. And this happens often. I'll get a phone call from somebody, or I'll be in a meeting with somebody, and we're talking. And these are people that love the Lord Jesus. These are people that are on their way to heaven. These are people that are doing things, okay? But they'll say something like this, Pastor D, I just can't stop doing this blankety-blank-blank behavior. Okay, Pastor D, I try to stop doing the blankety-blank behavior, but I just can't. And Pastor D, I come to church, and I just get goosebumps in the presence of God, and I say, God, I promise I'm not going to do the blankety-blank behavior. And you can fill in your blankety-blanks, okay? And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go to that place. I'm not going to say that thing. And then, Pastor D, I do that thing, I say that thing, and I hang out with those same people. Okay, so I can tell you 90% of the time our conversation will come back to their identity. They don't know their identity, all right? So I wrote this, and they're going to pop it up. I think it's pretty cute. Just write it down. Listen to this. Most of our problems as a Christian comes from the gap between the way God sees us and the way you see you. Most of our problems, most of the challenges that I have as a Christian come all because of this gap, the way God sees me and the way you see you. Ready? Let me give you some Bible examples. 12 spies, okay? Moses has just gotten all the children out of Egypt, okay, and then they're standing at the edge of this cliff here, and here's the promised land, and they have heard about the promised land. God says, this is your promised land. By the way, let's go in and spy the promised land. So they send the 12 spies in, and the 12 spies are like, oh, this place is beautiful. Look, but they got giants. They got a lot of giants. Oh my gosh, we're going to have some fighting going on, right? Now, They come back, the 12 spies, and 10 of them cannot see what God says about them, what God has promised them. So they come back and they go, ooh! You know, they're kind of a freak out moment, and they're like, but we're like grasshoppers to these big giants. Oh my gosh. And they're just gonna step. They're just gonna step all over us. Okay, so those 10 spies cannot see what God saw, God promised them. But then we've got the two. Who are they? Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua and Caleb, they have a right perspective of what God saw for them, what God says to them. Those other 10 have the wrong one. Okay, so here's Joshua and Caleb, and they're going, oh my gosh, they've got big giants in the land. But you know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Come on, let's go after them. They have a right perspective based on who they see God and what God has said. All right, and they're like, yeah, there's giants in there, but listen, guys, there's grapes that are this big. Children's ministry, you know. And it's flowing with milk and honey. Come on, if God says it, it's ours. Let's go get it. So we have two perspectives, right? And one is a wrong one, and one is a right one, and one has a good identity because of that, right? Okay, moving on from that. How about Gideon? Gideon is a wimp, right? He's hiding in a wine press, okay? And then in the middle of the night, he's out trying to work in this field and to get a harvest so they're not starving to death. And then the bad guys come in and they take all this harvest, and Gideon's just sad, okay? He's sad. And then one day, God taps Gideon on the shoulder and he goes, Gideon, you are called to take my people to get the land back. And Gideon does not see or know his identity. And he's like, no, no, I can't do this. I'm a wimp. No, he goes like that. He doesn't say something. He goes, I am the least in my tribe, and my tribe is the least in all the other tribes, and I can't do this. Right? And then you know what God says? Hey, listen. It is not what you are not. It is who you are. It is who you are with me. It is who you are with me. That'll give you the right identity. It is who you are with me. Okay? Third guy, Moses. Moses. Moses is hiding on the backside of the mountain. You know, he's just running and hiding. He's in the wilderness, and then God appears to him in this burning bush. We talk about intense. It's like, okay. So God appears to him and he says, hey, Moses, I want you to go take all of my people, a couple million, billion of them, out of Egypt. They've been slaves here for 400 years. I have called you to go do this. And Moses has a wrong perspective. And what does he say? Oh, but I stutter. Oh, and listen, I'm a wanted guy. They have a warrant out for my arrest in Egypt because I murdered somebody. I can't do that. He's got a wrong perspective, a wrong identity, right? Pastor D. So what does God say to Moses? Remember, God says, I am the great I am. And you go tell all those guys that I am sent you. Right? Guys, when we come to God and we have our old identity or our wrong identity, and we're telling God all the things we can't, and believe me, I have had many conversations with why I can't. Okay? Anybody have those conversations? I can even tell you the exact location. Screaming at God on why I can't do this, this, and this, okay? Okay? But God's going, that's okay. That's okay. It's who I am. So when you get that identity of who God is, you won't be saying I can't, right? So we have to shift our identity to what God says and who God is to us, right? Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. This scripture is written to you. If you just read it over your head, you just kind of miss it. But read this like it's written to you. Once D had no identity as a people, Now, D, you are God's people. Right? So here's what God's saying. You are no longer to identify on what you do. You're no longer to identify on where you come from. You're no longer to identify on any of your achievements. You are to identify yourself is one of God's. All right? And this is our main idea. Ready? We find our identity in Him. We find the real way I'm going to live life, see life, do life, talk life. I find my identity in Him, in the Lord Jesus. So, for the next couple minutes, I'm going to give you a really simple message, and it's called, Who Are You? Who are you? We're going to talk about you are a son or a daughter of God. We're going to talk about that you are a follower of God. So, are you excited?
Sure.
That's what we got to do. Ready? Number one. This one's going to blow you away. Ready? First thing you need to know so you have your identity right. Ready? You are a child of God. You know why you get excited? Because you have heard this 100 times down in children's ministry and youth ministry. Matter of fact, we sing the song, I am a child of God. Right? Careful, this will just be. Okay? If this does not excite you, I am a child of God. You have to change. You have to change how you see yourself. Because otherwise this will not impact you. But let me tell you, the day you know I am a child of God, woo! Watch out, devil. Right. So we have to have a different perspective. Let's start with this. So, God made everything. Amen? Preschool 101. And I can sing the song that goes with that. Okay? God made everything. God made the universe. God made everything that we can't see. God made everything. And then God says, I am going to make man in my image. You should all be going, yay! Okay. Yay! All right, because you're excited. You got it. So God says, I am going to make man in my own image and likeness. Now, I think about this. You know, He could have made us in the image of an elephant. He could have. Maybe His favorite, their favorite animal is a giraffe. He could have made us in the image of a giraffe. Thank God. Right? But listen, God got together with the Trinity. They had this meeting, and they said, let us make man in what? In our image and our likeness. Thank God. Okay. Now, whenever I think about that, I'm made in the image and likeness of God. As a parent, by the way, I have 4 adults. I have 4 adults. You know what? And every parent gets their head in this, like, ooh, I wonder what they're going to look like, you know? I wonder when they finally come, what are they going to look like? And then the day comes, and you get to hold them in your arms, and you think, oh my God, it looks like an alien. And then you go a couple days of puffiness, and they're not red, and they're all washed up. And you know what we always say? And this is what we're thinking. You know, I made this. There was a cooperative effort. I made this, and it looks like me. Okay, so I have 4 amazing adult children. Okay, adults, physically the children. My first 2, they look like their dad. There's nothing me there. And my 3rd one, my father-in-law, Phil, came up one day and he says, oh, she looks just like my mother. I am smart not to argue. I said, oh yeah. And then, I'm pregnant. That's too late because I'm already pregnant, but I'm pregnant with my 4th, and I'm like, I do all the work. I get this thing stretched out, parts of this. Ugh, one of them should look like me. My last one, she looks like me. And I'm like, yeah, you know, so we go, that looks just like me. Okay. God chose to make you, and it should excite you in His image and likeness. I am so hot up here. I need a fan. kids and you're like, oh, that one's a spitting image and that one just acts like you. Okay, but God is like, I have made you in my image and likeness. You are my daughter, you are my son. Woo! I only had 2 cups of coffee. Nothing to do with that. Remember when Jesus is about ready to enter into his ministry? Okay, he goes to the River Jordan to be baptized. Okay? And then all of a sudden God speaks out of the God speaks out of the heaven, right? And everybody hears that. Okay? Everybody hears God speak out of heaven. So, little tip to all you dads. You ought to validate your children, dads especially, around other people. Parenting tip.
Right.
Hey, where's Pam? Hey, we were talking about doing a panel discussion on parenting. Let's break that one down. It's going to get a bunch of us young ladies here, parents and kids. But listen, parenting tip. Validate your kids when they're around other people. It just builds identity into them. Now, don't go tell them they're just, snot-nosed kid. Don't say that stuff. Tell. Speak life over your kids, especially around others. It does something amazing. Okay. So, getting back to our story, Jesus is being dumped in the River Jordan, and it says the Holy Spirit falls down on him. Thank you. Falls down like a dove. And God speaks. What does God say? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Talk about validation. Woo! Okay. Sitting on the sofa, having coffee, and I was thinking, I don't think Jesus could have gone into his ministry, done all that he did in ministry if he had not first heard. This is my beloved son, who I'm well pleased. I'm telling you what, he was ready for ministry. There's other things. Okay. Too much coffee that day. So everybody say, I am. Now you know your gender, so speak up right now. Okay. I am. A daughter of the Most High God. Keep going. All right. Okay, my identity is I am a daughter of God. My identity is I am a daughter of God. And listen, guys, sometimes if you find your identity in what you do, where you're from, all your achievements, okay, that's only going to go so far. And then you might have some day where you didn't do nothing right, achieve anything good, and your identity is bankrupt. Depression. Okay, moving on to a happy note. But if I find my identity in who I am a daughter of God. I am a child of God. It makes all the difference in how I live my life, how I see my life, and even how I talk. Okay. So, think about your life, but I'm going to give you an example of my life, all right? If I am not first and foremost, I am not first and foremost Pastor D. I am not first and foremost Mother 4. I am not first and foremost Grandma Q, okay, or whatever, okay, like that. But listen, I am first. Always, never changing, a child of God. And when I know I am a child of God, I will be better at being a mom. I will be better at being pastor. I will be better at blah, 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 blah. Okay? So you have to know, I am a child of God. Okay. So open up your Bibles to John chapter 1. I am a beloved child of God, daughter of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who did not receive him, I am muffing this up. Somebody read for me. Let's read this out loud. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God.
How many more of them? Yay!
Okay. Now, let me give you an example. Everybody knows the story of the prodigal son? Prodigal son. He is given this whopping inheritance. Okay? Now, by the way, that was highly unusual back then in Bible days where he came from to go and ask for your inheritance before the dad died. It's like saying, give me my money, or better yet, drop dead and give me my money. Okay, that was not how they did it. It was highly unusual, right? So, but he goes and asks for his inheritance, he gets his inheritance, and you know the story. He spends it all while living, just doing crazy, and one day he is flat broke, right? And he is in probably the lowest spot of life for a little Jewish boy, because he is eating with the pigs, and that ain't kosher. He is eating the slop with the pigs, okay? And then he has one of these, I call it the aha moments. Aha! You know, the Bible says he comes to his senses, and he's going, are you kidding me? Back in my father's house, servants ate better than this. I'm just going to go back to my father and ask him to be a servant. So he takes off to head back home. And it's probably all dirty and worn, you know, And his father sees him from far away, and what does his father do? He runs up, hugs him, and he's like, yay, my son! Not the beggar, not the one who blew all the money. Yay, my son has come home. And what does he do? He puts a ring on his finger. Now, he didn't put this one on his finger. He put on probably the family ring, the crest. That has to do with his identity, okay? Son! And then he puts a robe on him. You know what that has to do? He is covering all his sins, all of his shame, all of that he just did. And he goes, nope, you are my son, right? Praise God. And guys, this is what God wants to do in all of our lives if we will assume the right identity. I am a child of God. Listen. Right? That's what he wants to do. So many Christians get this goofy. It's like I do things for God because I am a daughter of God or a son of God. I do things for Him because of this. I do things from the position I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter. I love him, okay? I love him because he loves me. I love him because he loves me, and it says the love of God leads us to repentance. Amen? Yes. So, get your identity, right? All right, number two, then you need to know about your identity so you can live big and do everything, ready? Number two, I am royalty. I am royalty. Raise your hand if you've seen The Princess Diaries. All the guys raised their hand. Yeah, right, Pastor Nate. Keith, did you raise your hand? Oh, I kid. Okay. Yeah, go look it up. It's with Julie Andrews and Anne Hathaway. Cutest thing. Okay, so here's the gist of the movie. Here's this girl, just a normal girl. She lives in San Francisco, just normal life. And one day, she discovers she's royalty. One day, she discovers that she has an inheritance in the kingdom of Genovia, right? Y'all remember that? You guys are hard to make. Okay, somewhere over the ocean. Okay. So the rest of the movie is about her trying to come to grips with her new identity, right? Okay, can you imagine how that shaped and changed your life? You are a daughter of the king. You are royalty. Heck, you have an inheritance. Can you imagine that, how that changes her life? Okay? Now, open up to Romans 8:17, because this is what God says about you. Romans 8:17. We're talking about I am royalty. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share with the suffering in order that we may also share his glory. Okay. Jesus Christ, who purchased me, who bought me back, has made me royal. I am royalty. Right? Now, I'm royalty. I should have worn my purple shirt today. Okay. Doesn't fit me. Okay, so remember these scriptures. These are all in the epistles. This is in Hebrews, this is in Colossians and Ephesians. But the Bible says this, it says, now you have been granted access to where? Heaven. Now you are seated, right, in the heavenly places. And now you can come boldly before the throne of grace. So where is Jesus seated? At the throne, at the right hand of the Father of God. Guys, think royalty. This is who you are. This is your position. This is your identity. Here you go. Tell your neighbor, I am royalty. You say, well, you need to smile, man. Okay. Guys, when we start recognizing that I am royalty, it will start changing it, right? So, one, I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter of God. And two, I am royalty, all right? Now, wouldn't it be a shame if Anne Hathaway didn't ever discover that she was royalty? Wouldn't that have been a shame? That she just lived this normal life, like maybe even a poor life, right? Wouldn't that have been a shame? All right, so I'm telling you, you start discovering I'm a child of God, I am royalty. It'll change you and how you do life. Amen. So when I walk in and say, how you doing? I'm royalty. I'm great. Okay? All right. Write this down. Royalty shaped your reality. I like that. I was just, I have these little post-it notes. I write these one-liners around. I'm like, oh, that's good. So, write it down. Your royalty will shape your reality. Your royalty, if you get this, will shape the real deal deep. So, this past September, Queen Elizabeth II passed away at the ripe old age of 96. Okay? And it was all over the TV, and I kind of got sucked into it. I started watching everything and pressing buttons and learning about this. And okay, so I did. And I found out some just amazing things. I'm just going to share two things about being the royals. Okay? Number one. The royal family. Ready? These are the perks. Do you know that you can drive without a driver's license? All you teenagers are like, we're moving! I want to be royalty, okay? They don't need a driver's license. Just think, you didn't have to go to the DMV and wait in those lines for your number to be called. Nice. This is another one. They don't have to serve jury duty. Bob? You know, it always comes at the wrong time. Jury duty, that'd be nice, okay? Now those are the frivolous things, but here's the big inheritance. Yeah, write that down. Okay, listen to this. The royal family is worth, I'm gonna read these, $88 billion. That's for sure. All right? This is what is included in the Queen's inheritance, okay? That she passes down. Right? She passes down who's our living, okay? Ready? There's the crown jewels. The crown jewels, listen to this. There's more than 100 royal ceremonial objects. And there's more than 23,000 gemstones that have been acquired by previous kings and queens dating back to 1660. Okay? And they automatically inherit that. Okay, and this is all valued between $1.2 billion and whatever, but they can't find anybody to figure out the exact worth. It's just mind-blowing, okay? And it's all handed down to royalty, all right? Okay, then we have the Crown Estates. That's all the land and properties, and that's worth $18 billion, okay? It's all theirs, handed down, right? And then there's the Royal Art Collection. That's worth $11 billion. And then there's the royal titles, okay? So the queen hands off her title. Well, before she dies, she hands off, who got her title? Anyway, so, things we don't say. So, she decides what you're going to be she decides what title you're going to get. It's pretty good. Okay. All right, and here's another one, all right? So this is interesting to me. The way they know what belongs to them is because the queen wrote it in her will. I've got five people I know. Remind me, remind me, remind me. So how do we know what belongs to us? It's found in the will, waving at me. It's the word of God. That's how you know what belongs to you. So when I go, read your Bible. Okay, right? So open up to 1 Peter, and God tells you what belongs to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. What God says belongs to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven. The best part about being the royals from England is they didn't have to do anything to get it, right? They didn't do anything to get it, right? They didn't deserve it. They were just born into it. Well, listen, guys, you need to know that when you receive Jesus Christ, you are a child of God, and you are born into royalty, and you are born into an inheritance. You get to live it now and then. Praise God. So you got to see this, right? So royalties have rights. But listen, here's the other one. They also have responsibilities. Royalties have rights. They get the inheritance. But they also have responsibilities, right? So the queen says, oh, yes, I will be the queen. All right? And, oh, yes, you know, people are going to bow down and serve me. She doesn't say that, but that does happen. But what she does say is, oh yes, I'll be the queen, and my life will be a life of serving, and sacrifice. Okay? Yeah. I don't think the paparazzi following you around. That's a sacrifice. You know, there's a whole bunch of things there, but there's a whole bunch of things about serving. So, as a royal, you are representing your kingdom wherever you go. As royalty, you represent his kingdom wherever you go. When you know that, it'll change the way you see, the way you talk, the way you live. And it's good, right? So by the way, the Bible says that Peter, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, right? And you are not of this, you are not of this world. You may live in this world, okay? And so therefore you are, I am, a representative of God's kingdom wherever I go. Oh, yeah, you all smile. Let's get out of here. Okay. Think about this. When Jesus left heaven, came to earth, started his ministry, he could have said, oh, gosh, y'all bow down and feed me grapes. You could, you know, he could have said that. Okay, but here's a cool story in the Bible. This is Jesus' disciples. And they really just show their humanity. In other words, you would have been there just like them. So they're all sitting around, and they start arguing with one another. Nobody's ever had an argument in the family, right? So they start arguing with one another, and they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. Who's going to sit on the right hand? Who's going to sit on the left hand of the throne room of God? Who does he like better? Right? That's what they're arguing. They're acting all, you know, not too adultish, all right? Turn over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We judge them, but, you know, we wouldn't be doing the same thing. Luke chapter 22, verse 27. This is out of the Message Bible. Okay. Yeah, I read the first one and I'm like, got me, but here we go. Ready? First one. This is Jesus. He said, who would rather be the one who eats dinner or the one who serves? Who might eat dinner? Okay? No. Okay? Would you rather eat or be served? Right? You would rather eat and be served, right? But I, Jesus, the King, the Royal, but I have taken my place among you as the one who serves. Now I confer your royal authority. I got your robe on, you got your crown on, ready? I confer your royal authority, my Father has conferred on me, and so that you can eat and drink at my table in the kingdom of God and be strengthened as you take up responsibilities among the congregation of the Lord. Okay. You know how you can always tell a Christian who knows their identity? Everybody goes, okay? They serve others. Because isn't that what Jesus did? But women, didn't Jesus take off his robe, grab a towel, bend down and wash the disciples' feet, the people that he loved? Okay, so you can tell a Christian that knows their identity, they're serving. They don't come to church, God's house. What are you going to feed me today, Pastor D? What are you going to give me that I'm going to get less today? You know? No. When you know your identity, I'm a representative of the kingdom of God. I am royalty. I serve. I serve him, but I serve more. You know, yes, I do bow down and worship, but no, I serve others, especially in the family of God. Amen. And that's what God's calling us to do. Praise God. All right. I'm going to bump over. Let's do this. Number three, the thing you need to know about your identity. The last one. So we're going to do it in 4 minutes. Okay? You need to know that I am in Christ. I am in Christ. Now, I am just going to skim the first layer. But I'm going to give you, can you pop up those books? Thank you. I'm going to give you some books. One, the last one, that just, you'll go deeper in it. And you'll just love it. Okay? The one book, and I gave away my first two. If you have mine, could you return? Ready? This one's amazing. Throne Life. You want to know about your royalty, your identity? Throne Life by George Peck. Second one, Practicing the Presence of God. I gave this away, Brother Lawrence. I think I buy this all the time. They're just little books. Practicing the Presence of God has to do about your identity. Third one, Identification by E.W. Kenyon. We're talking about identification. E.W. Kenyon, another one. You can take a picture of this, okay? In His Presence by E.W. Kenyon. And this one I know we have in our bookstore, the In Him book. It's a little tiny mini book. What do they cost? Half price now. 50 cents a dollar, I forgot. Okay? About who I am. Right? So, okay, in Christ. So I'm giving you my best of my best. Here we go. Now, I'm going to say this, it's going to sound so obvious to you, but ready? Anytime I find my identity in anything other than Jesus Christ, I have my identity in the wrong place. Okay? And it's a challenge, okay? Because there's so many things out there that I can have my identity in, and some of them are not bad, but if I put it in the place of the Lord Jesus, I have my identity in the wrong place. Okay? Anytime you have your identity, your head's all wrapped up, everything about you is in blah, 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 and not in the Lord Jesus, you have in the wrong place. Okay? I love y'all. Some of you are really passionate about politics, and we saw that these last couple years, okay? But at any time you only identify yourself as Republican or a Democrat or a whatever, okay? Guess what? Over my identity in him, you're having it in the wrong place. Okay? Amen. So, I am not red, I am not blue. When you put red and blue together, you get purple royalty. Right. And you need to remember that. Just thought that was cute. So our theme scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:19, says you are not your own, okay? So we have to come to a place where my desires, I gotta read this one. My desires do not decide whatever I want to do or however I want to behave. My desires, because wait a minute, I am royalty. I'm a child of God, right? Okay, so my desires, okay. The whole world was running around, which they're doing too, but running around doing their own desires, okay? You know, we'd all be 500 pounds. I trimmed the cake. I came in yesterday. I couldn't believe it. Okay? You know, except for you people that have high saying, you know, we're going to binge watch whatever. We're going to just call off sick, whatever. We're going to go sleep with whatever. All right? You get the gist. Okay, but listen. As a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a representative of Him, guys, listen, I have to say, I have crucified these passions. They died on the cross with Jesus. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. So, no! Don't eat that cake! You're in it. Sell the cake at home. Okay, you know, this world and this culture is like, do whatever you want. However you feel, whatever you think you are, just do it, okay? And it's real interesting. I've been on royalty, and I'm like, no. How many of you have ever watched, you know, nobody was like me obsessing with it, but you watch the royal family on TV, and they're the whole, the gang's there, the kids, the grandkids, and they're all, and then the royal family is shaking hands with everybody, shaking hands with everybody, and then next thing you know, one of the royal grandkids starts misbehaving, right? And you know, doing something that they shouldn't, and immediately the parent swoops in, right? And then they don't do anything mean, but what they're saying is, hey, this is unbefitting behavior for a royal. Don't you know what family you're from? My dad used to do this. That's what you're going to do. Mostly to my boys, you go, hey, you're a Gagan. Gagans don't do that. You know what? You start, that's my name. Thanks, especially the university. Okay, but listen, when you start to see that, that'll shift your identity, it'll shift how you live. Royals don't do that. I don't want to do that, right? And those things kind of fade away. So you all know 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old. But I'm going to read you out of the New Living Translation because it just gets you ready. 2 Corinthians 5:17, New Living, look it up, okay? This means anyone who belongs to Christ, right, has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. How many have a new life? I have a new life. That old life is gone, right? Okay, I'm giving you one more story, flipping over 5 pages for you. So Gideon, back to Gideon. Gideon finally says yes to God. I'm going to be the mighty warrior. He goes out and he grabs 32,000 guys to be part of his army. That's pretty good. That's a good draft, right? Okay, so he's like, okay, we're pumped, we can do this. And then God shows up again. And he says, Gideon, you got too many in your army. And Gideon's thinking, are you kidding me? We could use some more. And he's like, no, you got too many in the army, okay? And it's not about the size of the army, it's about the size of me, your God. So I want you to whittle it down to 300. How many of you know it ended really good, right? It ended really good. It did, okay? So, what's this? Okay, one more song. Psalm 20, verse 7. We can sing this, but I'm not. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. Okay? I have not perfected walking out my identity, okay? There are certain things that I, be real deal, I have to draw back and go, wait a minute. I am a daughter of the Most High God. I am the beloved and royalty. Everything that is mine. I have a great hope in the future. The best is yet ahead. If God before me, who can be against me? Okay? There are days I'm saying this, okay, because you know there's things coming against me. So what do you do? Now I have just given you just the bare bones. Okay? I am a child of God. I am royalty. I'm in Christ. So what do you do with this in your life? One, the Bible says, dig into the Word of God. You'll find out all that belongs to you. That's why we read our Bible every day, right? Dig into the Word of God. And you know, some people say, well, Pastor, I don't have a lot of time. You know, there's days that I will read, months, that I will read the same chapter. Let's read the same chapter. I'll be there for about 2 weeks, and all of a sudden, okay, moving on, all right? So find out who you are, all right? And then let it change how you live your life. And the things that I used to do would just kind of fade away. And I'm living like royalty. All right, stand up, royalty. Father, I thank you for your children. I thank you, Father, that they are amazing. They're your children. They're the beloved. You love them, Father. You have a great hope and a future for your children. I thank you, Father, you've clothed them with royalty. I thank you, Father, their sins are forgiven. Their past is forgiven. You don't remember it. You don't rub our nose in it. And I thank you, Father, that we have a great inheritance in heaven and now. And I thank you, Father, they live mighty because they know who they are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, okay, Tessie, so just me personally, I'm really not big into tattoos. Though, I got stabbed in ninth grade with an Indian ink pen, and I have a tattoo. Yep, it's been there since I was like ninth grade. But I tell you what, if ever you wanted to get a really good tattoo, in Him, Child of God, royalty, or else you do it like I